Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We continue to make our way through this great season of the church year, from the celebration of Easter all the way, anticipating going all the way to the celebration of Pentecost. And what the church gives us during this season are fantastic readings, kind of walking us through, in part, through the Acts of the Apostles and the whole growth of the church, the foundation, the growth, and the movement of the church. And it's really helpful to take some time to look at the actual way the Holy Spirit was moving the apostles, to encounters he brought them into, what happened in those encounters, the opportunities they took advantage of, the preaching that they did, the content of their preaching, the signs and wonders that the Lord worked through them. Because this really, the Acts is really the foundation, the model, the paradigm of the life of the church, that the apostles are simply walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and the present-day apostles, our bishops, and the people of God are meant to be walking in the footsteps of the apostles. And what we're doing is faithfully, the church, if it's healthy and it's strong, it's communicating the same message, it's the same passionate faith and zeal to extend the kingdom of God, its clarity about its purpose, and its dependence on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and being able to also demonstrate, not only through the preaching of the gospel and living lives that are consistent with that preaching, but also the presence of signs and wonders that do accompany, as Jesus said, would accompany the preaching of the gospel. So we're going to look at some of the readings again this week. Last week, we looked primarily at the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost itself, which is, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program last week, I'd encourage you to, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You could download the Renewal Ministries app and just listen to them at your leisure. They're just, the teaching of Peter is so rich and foundational. And what he presents in it is what's called the kerygma, the basic proclamation, really the declaration, the declaring of the fundamental truth of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? What was his message? What has God done, really, that he died on a cross and he rose again from the dead, and that resurrection from the dead vindicates his entire message and purpose, that he truly is the one, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one way to salvation, as Peter and the other apostles will preach for us. And so you can listen to those on the Renewal Ministries app, whenever it's you got time to do it. It gives you lots of options. But today I want to pick up this week where we left off and kind of continue to move our way through the Acts of the Apostles. And again, Peter's front and center. We ended Acts chapter 2, it culminated with Peter proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one Savior, right? And then people, as Peter preached this kerygma, this message, people were cut to the heart. And cut to the heart, how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was proclaiming, giving testimony to and witness to what he saw and what he heard in Jesus, but he was also proclaiming what the Holy Spirit was inspiring him to proclaim. We see here, this is the central message, this kerygma. Cardinal Renato Conti La Mesa describes it as the germ cell of the church. The church really grows from the preaching of this message. The church's growth is organic, but the Word of God is like a seed, that seed that gets planted in the soil of the human heart. And that seed is energized, that Word is energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter's cooperating, and at the peak of it, as people are hearing this proclamation of who Jesus is and that he's Lord, they cry out and say, "What must we do?" And Peter says very simply, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So how does one receive Jesus Christ as Lord? Where does it begin? As St. John would said, the Lord gave us power to become children of God. How do we become children of God? By turning our hearts to Christ, repenting of our sins, accepting the message that's proclaimed, and being baptized, so that our sins can be forgiven And is the church, the language of the church, it is that the stain of original sin can be dealt with, our original separation from God, the state of alienation is removed. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and in that, we become temples of the living God. We become children of God, born of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So Peter's basically proclaiming the same message. And what's central is repentance, forgiveness of sins, water baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are the central, these are the core elements of what the kerygma leads to: proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord, that he's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, that he's been crowned, he's the king, he's the judge, all human history is in his hands now, he's the beginning of the new creation, he's the one who's pouring out the Holy Spirit, and in that he's offering the human race salvation. He's offering the human race a way out of a state of alienation in relationship to God. He's offering human beings freedom from the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil that dominate the human heart, have a dominion over, exercise an authority and a power and a dominion over the human heart through the power of sin and death. And humanity's conniving with sin and its power. Jesus dealt with that on the cross. And that power, that blood of Jesus is applied to our lives in baptism, and we're purified from that sin. And the blood of Jesus breaks the hold of Satan, and we're enabled, we're made capable of becoming children of God. So that was the fundamental proclamation. Now, Peter, days later, makes his way into the temple. And I'll just read beginning of chapter 3 of Acts. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. So he's there at the gate, Beautiful, in the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Peter directed his gaze at him and with John and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. What a dramatic and a powerful scene. Peter and John were poor. They didn't have any money. They didn't have silver or gold to give, but they were rich in the reality and the things of the kingdom. It's inspiring to hear the words of Peter to say with so much confidence, I don't have silver or gold, but let me tell you what I do have. I possess something. And what does he possess? He possesses the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He possesses the authority given to him by the Lord. The kingdom of God is breaking out. Peter knows it, and he's been sent by Jesus, as has John and the apostles and the other disciples, have been sent by Jesus to extend the power of the kingdom of God to people. And one fundamental sign, one fundamental way in which it goes forth, again, fulfilling the very ministry Jesus himself engaged in, who healed, you know, gave sight to the blind, who raised the dead. Now the apostles, as Jesus said, are walking in that same authority, grace, and anointing. The reading goes on to verse 7. And he took him by the hand, by the right hand, and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you've ever had the opportunity to be in a situation where you saw someone get healed, I've had that happen a number of times, both here at home in the United States and different parts of the world. And each time, when a real physical organic healing like this kind of healing happens, not only does the person tend to walk and leap and praise God, they're just overwhelmed with joy and stunned. Anybody who's around does the same thing. There's just this sense of awe and amazement. And the first thing that just bursts from the heart is joy. It's a joy for this person, of what God has done for this person, but it's also a joy that touches our faith. It flows from the realization, yes, the kingdom of God is real. The Lord is real, and he's still working today. As St. John Paul II used to say, the Catholic lives with the conviction that Jesus Christ is risen, that he's alive, and that he's acting in the present, and he's changing lives. That's what's happening here. What a beautiful scene. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Remember, he's the guy who was at the gate beautiful every day. So people who came in and out of that gate into the temple, they saw him pretty much every day. And they recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Yeah, they were filled with wonder. How could this be? He's walking, he's leaping, he's joy. Look at him. He's been totally transformed. He's been healed. And so this is why, friends, signs and wonders are meant to accompany the gospel in its proclamation throughout history. Now, there's a lot to that. It's complex. There's a lot of people who get prayed for who don't get healed. There's a mystery to it, who God heals, who God doesn't heal. I mean, I've prayed over many people in my lifetime, and I've seen a few healings. Most of the people I pray with haven't been healed. So I said, Lord, I don't know. I'm just going to keep faithfully responding. And usually people are really blessed, the most part, in being able to receive prayer if they ask for it. But I would have to say this too. In terms of the manifest power of God, this is anecdotal, just in my own personal experience, I would say when I've been preaching in places where there are unbelievers, there are people who've never met Christ, or people who are opposed to the gospel in some significant way. In those contexts, those are the places where I've seen the power of God move more dramatically than almost anywhere else. It's almost like the Lord ratchets up the grace and the anointing and movement of the Holy Spirit that's needed in the situation and various kinds of manifestations. Over the years, I've seen directly that produce the kind of a dimension of this sort of wonder and amazement at the presence and the power of God. So the reading goes on. It says, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They were astounded. And when Peter saw it, he began to address the people. So Peter's responding to this man's cry for help. Peter, probably, as far as we know, the first dramatic physical healing that the post-resurrection experience of Peter and the apostles. It's the first one we get here in the Acts of the Apostles. So that act of love, that response, the movement of the Holy Spirit, the healing, provides now an opportunity for Peter to preach the critical message of salvation, to communicate. This is one of the fundamental reasons that God does work signs and wonders in situations to get people's attention, to open up their mind and heart, to get them to see and to believe the possibility of the supernatural. And the fact that Peter did the healing, that God worked through Peter for a healing, everybody gathered around him and basically wanted to know, who is this guy? How did this happen? And they were attentive. So the Lord drew a crowd so that Peter could use the opportunity to do the key critical thing that all the apostles and really all of God's people are sent to do, to communicate the truth about who Jesus is and what it means for our lives. We'll pick this story up again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.